preach to it, Brother Walter.
Good morning. It's a blessing to be here with you again, and Paul and his family. We love to have them come to Yucatan, and I think he's really got a burden for the people in Latin America. Trying to learn Spanish language. It's a long, hard task to learn a foreign language. I noticed out on the plaque out there, in front of the church, it's 1963. I guess that's when this building was finished. But, you know, we have a ministry. We have a ministry. And that ministry is to show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And that's what we want to speak of and glorify in our lives. We have nothing of ourselves to glory in, only in Christ. And this church has a ministry. Not just Paul Mahan's ministry, it's our ministry, your ministry. God has placed His treasure in earthen vessels. Clay pots, that's what we are, clay pots. And that's what we can come together to worship the Lord and declare the virtues of Him. Paul wanted me to tell you something about Mexico. I'm about to work in Mexico. Well, it's God's work. It's His ministry. And we're His servants. And we don't preach ourselves, and we don't want to preach ourselves. But we preach Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, your servants for Christ's sake. That's what I want to be, Christ's servant. What greater service could we be in? I guess it's being heard back there. I don't know where to turn this off and just try to speak or leave it going. I think you're hearing. Well, I'll go on. Y'all know that my son Cody, he's preached here, hasn't he, Paul? He's been a blessing to us in Yucatan. He's down there now taking care of things, and he'll be up here later on. But it's wonderful to have my son Cody there with his family. And the Lord is blessed and raised up local churches there in Yucatan. It's a precious thing when God raises up a church that preaches the gospel, loves the gospel, loves the truth. The love of the truth it's the love of the truth. It's God's truth. It's His love. His sovereign love, His sovereign grace. A lot of religious people don't love the truth. They don't receive the love of the truth. And that love is sovereign love. And that love is particular redemption. And that's the love that we preach. He has the mercy on whom He will. And people hate that love. And they don't want to hear about it. But that's the love that we rejoice in, because we know there's nothing in us. It's not because we love the truth so much. It's because the love of the truth came to us in power and revealing Christ to us. In Yucatan, we live in a tropical place. One of the most beautiful things about the tropics is the clouds. It takes a lot of humidity to make beautiful clouds. And when I can, during the rainy season, in the evening when the sun goes down, I like to sit and watch the clouds. Because what is in the clouds? Without the sun, it's nothing but just an old dark cloud. But when that sun goes down, and the light of that sun shines on those clouds, it just brings out all kind of color. And that color is not in the cloud. It's in the sun. It's in the light. And God has revealed and manifested in our hearts and shined in our hearts the light of the knowledge of the glory of God through His gospel in all the scriptures. This morning I want to try to speak to you from a book of Ruth. I know it seems like the ladies love this book of Ruth, but I do too. The book of Ruth. And I had someone read this one time, and afterward he told me, he said, that's a pretty story. It has a heart-ridden history there. But what's it doing in the Bible? What is it all about? Well, that book of Ruth, as the Holy Spirit enlightened our hearts to see the glory of our Redeemer, and through this prophetic type of the history of Ruth in the book of Ruth. And may the Lord bless us as we look at this book of Ruth. Now, the theme of this book is the Kinsman Redeemer. Kinsman Redeemer. That's redemption. That's our greatest need. A pauper person is not interested in redemption. Doesn't know his need, do they? I had sad news come from Mexico of a boy that has left the church there in Merida. He'd been coming for a long time and listened to the gospel preached. And I know Cody preached the gospel, and I preached Christ. I preached salvation by grace in him. But he left and he said he was going to this other church because he wasn't learning anything there. Wasn't learning anything. I think he's learning more than he realizes. What he's learning, it's just nothing in him. People don't want to hear that. And it's an awful thing to leave the gospel. And why do people leave the gospel? Come to a church like this and hear the gospel preaching and then leave. I believe I know what the reason is. It's because this gospel to those that perish is a savor of death and the death. But to those who believe, it's a sweet savor of Christ, of life and the life. And a person won't sit under the gospel very long unless they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they can't find anything in the gospel that makes them feel good about themselves. I don't have anything to feel good about myself, but I feel wonderful in Christ. He's the fullness of the Godhead body. I'm complete in Him. And in Him is fullness of joy, and His right hand are pleasures forevermore. This earth is filled with the goodness of the Lord, and we enjoy it. We enjoy it. I was out at Falls, and I just love to listen to the silence. Just enjoy that. And people want to get off in a big party or something. I'd rather just sit and listen to the song, see the glory of God in all His handiwork. But there's no greater glory manifested of God, of His glory, than in Christ Jesus and the gospel. And I know that's what the young boy is thinking. He just can't have any good feeling about himself listening to the gospel. But Paul said that we're the circumcision, circumcision of the heart. God has opened their hearts and worked in their hearts to reveal Christ to them. And we worship God in truth and in spirit, and we glory in our Lord Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. Let me get into this book. I'll never get through if I don't get started here. This is a beautiful book. It's a prophetic type it's an unending story for God's believers. It has a happy ending. I like stories with happy endings. And it has a happy ending, and it applies to every one of us who are believers. It applies to all God's elect. And those who know Christ have a happy ending that never ends. Now, in the book of Acts, Ruth, it starts out, "Now it came to pass in the days of that the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, and his wife and his two sons." This man lived in Bethlehem of Judah. And there's a promise in Scripture about Bethlehem and about Judah. The Scripture, the prophecy says, Jacob, or Israel, prophesied in Genesis, say it about Shiloh. He said that the legislator and the lawgiver would not part from Judah until Shiloh comes. Now, I have a different time quoting scriptures in English, or even reading. It seems like it's just so foreign to me. And it is foreign to me. But I'll do my best as I can. But he was living in a place of blessings there. God had promised that Shiloh, the Messiah, the Christ, would come through the tribe of Judah. And there came a famine in the land. You know, God's going to try his people. He tries our faith that it might be manifest, not because he wants to see if we have faith, because he's the author of faith. And it's his work in us. It's the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because of his faithfulness and his faith, and he's the author of our faith. It's because of him, the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have believed in him. And he's the author and finisher of our faith. But he lived in the land of Judah, and he had the wife and two sons. His name was Elimelech, and there was a famine in the land. God tried his people, and this man, he gave up hope there. And probably it was Naomi also. She said, "Oh, I'm getting so tired of this. Let's go off down in Moab." Moab was a place where there's something going on down there, but Moab were the descendants of Lot. And they were under a curse of God. This was when this happened. It was about three generations or four generations after Lot had went into Moab. And the descendants of Moab were under a curse. And he took his two sons and his wife, Naomi, and went down to Moab. And with his eye on the things of this world. It's pitiful to see people leave a place, leave a gospel church, and go off for the things of this world. I tell you, we better be careful. We better be careful. It says they that, it talked about in Thessalonians, because they receive not the love of the truth, God shall send them a strong delusion that they might believe a lie and be damned. What's that lie they believe? They believe a religious lie concerning salvation, and that's all that. But they believe a strong. God sends it that they believe a lie and be damned. A person that don't continue in the truth, and persevere in the truth, it just reveals that they've never known the truth. But Elimelech went off down to Moab and took his sons with him, and Elimelech died. They were down there 10 years, and while they were there in Moab, after Elimelech died, his two sons married some Moabitish women. And it says they dwell there about 10 years. And then verse 5, and it says that and the two sons died. I won't attempt their names. I can say their names in English. I'm Spanish, but I can't say them in English because I get all mixed up because I just don't remember. I used to read that as English, but I just won't even attempt to say. And there's two sons of Elimelech, and they died and left these two women that they had married, and his mother without any support of any kind. And it says, and the women was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return to the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. That's how God calls out his people. That's how faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. She heard this good news about God had visited his people with bread and Moab. Bethlehem is a house of bread. And they were just going through a little trial there, and they left it. And now she's hearing that God's blessing, and she's wanting to go back. And her two daughters-in-law want to go with her. And one of them was named Orpha, and the other was named Ruth. And they went forth. Wait a minute. Wherefore, she and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went into the land. They went on through the way to return into the land of Moab. I'm reading like a fifth grader. I know. A fifth grader's read better than that. That's amazing. This is my native tongue. But Naomi told her daughters-in-law, now you go back to your gods and your people. I'm an old woman. Now, Naomi knew about kinsman redeemer. That was the law of Israel. God established this as a type of redemption, and that's through Christ Jesus. And she knew about this law, but she knew she was an old woman. Wouldn't be ever any hope of any kinsman redeemer wanting to marry her. And so she. But their daughters-in-law didn't know anything about it. But Orpha, after she told them, you go on back, because there's no hope in me. She lost all hope. And he said that Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, and she went back to her gods and to her people. But Ruth clave to her mother-in-law. But Ruth clave unto her. Verse 14. And even though Naomi encouraged her to go back, Ruth wouldn't turn around and go back. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go, and whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Whether thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if thou. All but death part thee and me. Now, most people only use this text in marriages. But this is a good example of of these two women as a type of the Church of Christ, Gentile and Jew. Ruth represents the Jews. God's elect among the Gentiles. Naomi, being a Jew, she represents the Church of God, His elect among the Gentiles. Well, I got it backwards, didn't I? Jews. Well, it's kind of like patting your head like this and rubbing your stomach. And then all of a sudden, change the sequence. You know, that's what I'm experiencing right now. My son-in-law, my grandson, down in Mexico, I have two grandsons and a granddaughter about the age of Hannah. And he speaks Spanish very well. He's been there 4 years now. And he came in from school. And his mother talks real good Spanish. Oh, she was raised down there, Winnowa. Cody also. But he came in from school. He was excited about something that happened in school. And he was talking to her real fast in Spanish. And his mother just looked at him and said, "Son," said, "what are you doing talking to me in Spanish? Talk to me in English." He said, "Oh, Mama," said, "it didn't happen in English. It happened in Spanish." You really don't know what I'm talking about, do you? It's been happening to me for 36 years in Spanish. I'm trying to make excuses for myself. I guess I apologize for myself. But this is a good example of there's one body, one church made of all God's elect and all nations and tongues and all places. And they all sing the song of redemption. In heaven and on earth, we sing of Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. And He's made us priests and kings. We'll reign with Him on this earth in the New Jerusalem. And we are all priests. Every one of God's people that are saved and know the Lord Jesus Christ are priests. And He's the king priest. And we have a minister here on this earth as the priest of God. And that's what we're all ambassadors. We have this ministry. God has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, let me go. It says that Ruth and Naomi set out on their journey back to Bethlehem. And as they were coming into the city, verse 19, so they went until they came to Bethlehem. And as they were coming into Bethlehem there, some of the people saw Naomi, and they could see she's this old woman that's lived a hard life. And they were shocked, and they recognized, is this Naomi? Is this the young lady that was pleasant, sweet? And now she's withered. That's what sin does to a person. I noticed the other day at Donnie Bell's, there was a elderly woman. I don't know how old she was. She must have been, I'm 66. She must have been about 80, in her 80s. She got up and sung a special. And you know, God gives a believer a beauty about him, don't you? And I said, "So, what a beautiful woman." And she's singing this song of redemption. But Naomi here had lived a hard life and away from the walking after the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. But she's going back to Bethlehem. And they say, "Is this that miscongeniality?" That's the word I was looking for, congenial.
pleasant. She said, now don't call me that. Call me bitter, bitter. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord had brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi? Seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me. She looked at them as afflictions, and they were. But the Lord was working all these things for her good. And to bring her to her Redeemer. And that's what Paul says. We know that those that love God, all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. The bad things, all things work together for the good of those that are God's elect. We love Him because He first loved us. And He's working these things in this life all for His glory, that we might be conformed unto the image of Christ. And this is the work of salvation in the heart of every believer. God bringing us to our Redeemer. The blessed man is the man that the Lord has taught. And those that have learned of the Father have come to Christ. And the psalmist said, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. And she doesn't know it yet, but she's greatly blessed here. It's a blessed thing when a person is taught what he is. And I'm thinking about David that went away. Maybe he's learned, I don't know. But he wasn't happy there. Is this bitter to him? This gospel of salvation in Christ, life in Christ, and his condition as sinner, condemned by the law, not being able to do anything acceptable unto God. He wanted to hear something that made him feel good about himself. If you're looking for that, you'll never find your Redeemer. If you're looking for a church that makes you feel good about yourself, you'll never know the Redeemer. The gospel is good news, but we need to learn the bad news first. And the bad news is that all we like sheep have gone astray. And all the thoughts of our heart and the imaginations are enmity against God. And that's what Nicodemus learned. He had to be born again. Well, the Lord is working this miracle in her heart, bringing her to Christ, this is a type, but bringing her to her Redeemer. And they came to Bethlehem, and it was the beginning of the barley harvest. And he says, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, mighty man of wealth, and of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And now Ruth didn't know anything about this law of kinsman redeemer. But as I can imagine, as they were coming into Bethlehem, it was the harvest of the barley. And there, in every parcel, the people were out harvesting the barley. And Ruth had probably told her about this. So those out there, those women out there behind the reapers, they are gleaning, and they have under law they can do that, and that's the law of the land. And Ruth talked to her mother-in-law and said, let me go out there and get in one of those fields as a gleaner. And she says, let me go and after in of the person in him in whose sight I shall find grace. God's people won't want to hear grace, don't they? I don't want to hear anything about merits. I want to hear grace, the great grace of God. My only hope for salvation is the grace. I don't trust in anything I've done or am doing or ever will do. I trust in what He did, what Christ did on Calvary. And I trust in His grace. He's my Redeemer. And that's who I've tried to preach here in this message. Ruth was concerned about grace. And she went out and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was the lot on the part of the field belongs to Boaz. It says her hap was. Wasn't any accident, was it? It was directed by God, ordained of God, and she was directed to the field of Boaz. If you think back in your life, for the believers, think back of the grace of God that worked in your heart before you ever knew the Lord Jesus Christ. How blessed it was to save you from destruction. And many, you men, you've passed times when you were so close to death. God spared you, delivered you. And you didn't know Him. You didn't know the Redeemer. It wasn't an accident. One accident. Well, her hap was that she got on the field of Boaz. Capataces, or the foremen of workers that were in charge. Whose damsel is this? Now, he knew about Ruth, and he knew about Naomi. It says that on down in verse 11. It says, Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been shown thee all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband. How she had identified with Jehovah, the Redeemer, the God of Israel. Jehovah the Son is our Redeemer. And she identified with the God of Israel, Jehovah. And she had identified with Naomi. And she had come to that country. And he says on down that the Lord recompense. I guess that's what he says, recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord, God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Now, when he came out to the field, Boaz set his eye on her. And he spoke personally to her. It says on down, it spoke to her heart. I'm so glad that God set his eye on me before I ever knew him. When did God set his eye on us? Before the foundation of the world, God shows us in Christ. Even before the fall. Because His love is eternal, you see. It started back before time in eternity. And this, the love of the truth of the gospel was hid. But it began to be revealed in His promises in the Old Testament, even after the fall of Adam. It was promised that in the seed, and that's talking of Christ, in the seed, promised to the woman, that God would destroy Satan and the works of the devil and Satan. And that seed promises Christ, but that's the... I lose myself. Let me see if I can get back in here in the scriptures. But he spoke to her heart. And notice the effect here in her. Then she fell on her face to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Brother Pastor was talking about a person trying to be humble. I had a fellow one time tell me, he said, I've made a vow I'm going to be more humble. I said, don't do that. You're defeated before you ever get started. I'm going to be more humble. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, God gives us that poor in spirit. And she had been taught of the Lord. She had learned of her own condition in poverty. And she says, Who am I? Why have I found grace in thine eyes? We can't find anything within ourselves. It's all in Christ. It's all in God's good pleasure. He shows us and redeemed us and called us by His grace and given us the Holy Spirit in our hearts as our comforter and teacher. And she fell on the winner. She says fell on her face, didn't it? And bowed herself to the ground. That wasn't any false humility. That was just the humility. That's like John. When John saw the glory of the Lord, he felt like a dead man. He was an apostle. And the Lord touched him and said, Fear not, for I'm here. That was dead, but I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and of death. Well, anyway, Boaz told her to stay in his field. He said, I've commanded the men not to touch you. And said, you stay right here. Now, there was a lot of fields around there. But there was only one field that had a Redeemer in it. And that was the field where she had just luckily came to. Now, God led her there. And he's saying, stay in this field. And then at dinner time, he gave her some special food there. There's a little courtship going on here. He said he reached her some corn and gave her, he commanded the servants not to touch her and let her glean among the sheaves and then leave her some handfuls of purpose. Leave them for her. And don't rebuke her when she gets those handfuls of purpose. They'll put their own purpose. I thank God for those handfuls on purpose. I thank God for the support of this church. When I was, years ago when I was in Mexico, I used to have to go to the post office every day to see if we got anything in because we lived close, you know, real close. My kids one time said, Daddy, why don't all these other people here, poor, why don't they go to the post office? He thought that's where you go get money, the post office. But those handfuls on purpose are wonderful, aren't they? And you've experienced it in your life. And God puts them in our pathway. But when, after the day was over, she had reaped more than usual, the usual gleaner would reap. And she went home to her mother-in-law, Naomi, and the mother-in-law saw that bag of grain that she had brought in, and she said, Daughter, where in the world have you been? Where have you been? What field have you been gleaning in? And she said, I was gleaning in the field of a man named Boaz. And then her mother shouted. She shouted, she said, verse 20, And Naomi said unto her, Daughter-in-law, blessed be the Lord God who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, That man, or this the man is a near kinsman unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth Ruth said, he told me to stay right in his field. And his mother-in-law said, don't you dare leave his field. You stay right there. Stay right there. Forget, don't leave the gospel. Don't leave the church where the gospel is proclaimed. This is one of God's candlesticks where the gospel is proclaimed. And if you don't not get anything out of this, if you're learning what you are before God and before the law, that you're dead, you trespass and sin, stay right there. Stay right there. Don't leave. The good news comes later. You got to learn what you are before God, under the law condemned, and not worthy of anything from Him. If you learn that, blessed are you. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's what Christ said, because them are the kingdom of heaven. So don't get discouraged if you just come to church and you just feel down more and more. Good news is on its way. And here they are with shout, oh, a redeemer. And one man that can redeem us. She told him to stay there. Keep fast by the ladies. Well, when she finished up the barley harvest, she brought the barley home, her mother-in-law said, now they're down at the threshing floor. There were men down there at the threshing floor. I guess it's just a swept-off clean where there was winnowing the grain and beating it out. And she said, now, I need to look out for you and I both in this thing. We need to be redeemed. We can't. Without a redeemer, a kinsman redeemer, we're just going to remain in this condition. She said, I'll tell you what to do. You bathe yourself and put on your prettiest dress, prettiest rags, wash them real good, and you go down there where they're threshing the wheat or the grain. And said, you watch where Boaz, where his bunk is, or where his sleeping bag is. And when they get through eating and drinking in the evening, said, you just mark the spot where he lays down. And when it gets dark, after they've all gone to sleep, you slip down there. You slip down there and you uncover, you lay at his feet. Don't let anybody know you're there. And that's what she did. And Naomi said, all that he saith to thee, now that's what, Ruth said, all that he says unto me, I will do. And she went down to the threshing floor and waited, and very night she came softly, it says in verse 7, she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay her down. That's the wonderful thing about it. I say you is mercy at Christ's feet. All of his enemies are going to be put under his feet. But there's mercy at his feet. And the only reason God's sparing this old world and allowing it to go on is because he's long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any usward, that any should perish, but that all who usward should come unto repentance. That's the reason God's letting this world go on the way it is, because he has his people that he's bringing to the feet of Christ, the Redeemer. She went down and she lay at his feet. And then in the middle of the night, it said, Boaz woke up and he was startled as a woman at his feet. And he said, who art thou? Verse 9. I am Ruth, thine handmaiden. Spread thou, therefore thou skirt over me, over thine handmaiden, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast shown more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, insomuch as thou fallest. Wait, I'll just jump on down. And now, my daughter, Fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Where did her virtue, where is this virtue he's talking about? She was a widow. He's talking about her remaining in the field of Boaz, continuing the Boaz. That's faith. If it doesn't have a virtue, it's dead. Virtue is the value of the faith. Perseverance is the virtue of faith. And she had remained there in Boaz's field, and her faith was manifest as real, wasn't it? Perseverance is a manifestation of true saving faith. But saving faith is not the cause of salvation. The cause of salvation is in Christ. But he said, talked about the virtue of, let's see now. I gotta hurry, but he says in verse 12, and now this is true that I am thy kinsman, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I am. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then I will do the part of a kinsman to thee, as he swears. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. You know, God has sworn by himself of his promises to us in Christ Jesus. God doesn't have to swear, but he swore by himself that we might have sure consolation in Christ. All the blessings and promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes and amen. And he swore by himself. And that's what Boaz is doing here. And she lay at his feet until the morning. That's what faith is, laying at the feet of our Redeemer. Trusting in his word, trusting in his promise. His promises will never fail. He that believeth in the Son hath everlasting life. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Those are the words of our kinsman Redeemer. And we just trust in that. Now, in early in the morning, Boaz loaded it down with a token. You know, when a girl gets a wedding ring, that's a token. I heard some squealing the other day going on. Someone got an engagement ring, and boy, there was some squealing going on. I came up, so I said, But she got that barley that he put on her, all she could carry, and she carried it back to Naomi, her mother-in-law. And Naomi said, "Now you sit still, my daughter." Said, "That man's not going to rest till he takes care of this situation. He's not going to rest until he has finished the thing this day." That's what Christ did on the cross. He said, "It's finished." He dealt with that one that had the first claim on us. Who is that one that had the first claim? Well, I don't know exactly in this story, but I know the first claim on us sinners is the law demands satisfaction. Do you know God has never justified one sin in all the universe? He has never justified one little sin in all the universe. He doesn't justify our sins. He justifies us by condemning our sins in our substitute. And that's what Boaz has had to deal with, this one that had the first claim. And he went down to the city gate, and he got 10 witnesses. And when this kinsman that's called such a one came by, he called him over, and he said, "Are you going to redeem Naomi and her land and everything?" He said, "I'll redeem her. get more land. Well, then Boaz said, now, when you redeem her, you're going to have to take in this Gentile woman, Ruth, and raise up a family. He said, oh, no, I'm not going to. Those witnesses, that 10 witnesses, that law, it was legal before. It wasn't done in the corner. This thing done at Calvary wasn't done in the corner. It was done before all the universe, angels, that God might be just and the justifier of all that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he did this in the open before the law, and it was established. This man, such a one, that had the first claim, he wanted to, but he couldn't. He did something wrong there. So he had to take off one of his shoes and give it to Boaz. It was a sign that he was not able. He was a half-shot person. And walking around half-shot. But I'll tell you, Boaz had both shoes on. And he had the will and he had the power. And that's our Savior, our Redeemer. Now, don't just have a desire. He has a desire, plus the power. And he'll not lose any of his sheep. He's going to call them out through the preaching of the gospel. So we need not be discouraged. Just keep on proclaiming the gospel and trying to, even though we have discouragements like this young man leaving, saying he hadn't learned anything. Have you learned anything from what I'm talking about? If you've learned that you're a sinner, you've learned something. Bless the Lord, you've learned something. But wait for the good news. The good news is what Christ did for us on Calvary, paying our sin debt that we couldn't pay. And Boaz paid that debt. He received his Naomi, and he received Ruth, and he had a son from Ruth, and that son was called Obed. And you know what Ruth became? A great, great, great grandmother of David, the king of Israel, and from the tribe of Judah, David. That's where the lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was born into this world, he was born under the law, he was born according to the scriptures. And this is one of the women in the lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ that manifests the grace of God. Like, there are several of them. I don't have time to name them, but what a wonderful, wonderful story. And if we see, if the light of the Spirit of God shines in our hearts and reveals the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, it's like that sun shining on those rain clouds, and it's just glowing. And it's, I called Betty out, and I said, come on, Betty, you're missing it. It's changing every minute. And that's my hope right now, that the Spirit of God reveals these beautiful colors of the light. The colors is not in anything. It's in the light. And I know in your minds that you could rejoice in this even with a clay pot trying to preach this message. The Lord bless you.
I couldn't help but think of this verse of scripture. I'm not adding anything to that message. Nothing should be or can be. Isaiah 28:11 says, with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people. And that was a blessing, buddy. That was a real blessing. It sure was. It's not that, it's God's word. He's promised to bless it. No matter what language or our poor attempts at it. Earthen vessels. I thank you for that. We can't enter into what he was saying about trying to speak in another language. You speak for 37 years in one language. That's the way you think. That's the way you talk. You read the Bible, like he said, in one language, and those are the script. That's how you memorize those scriptures. Now, I can enter in a little bit. Tonight, I'm going to try to read the Spanish Bible, and it's going to sound like a three-year-old standing up here. I'm going to butcher it. I'm going to try to lead. I'm going to try to talk to people in a language I don't know. And it's a daunting task. Try it. Try it. But somebody's got to do it. And the Lord promised to bless it. It's not us. It's His Word. One word in the power of God's Spirit, God is able to use mightily. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. With stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. There's but one song to sing, number 475, Redeemed. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Number 475, let's stand as we sing. Brother Walter, I want you to go back to the back door so the folks can greet you. 475. Redeemed, I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. This trial and forever I am. Songs in the night.